7 o'clock.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On July 13th, nearly 2 weeks after major provisions of California's new paid sick leave law took effect, Governor Brown approved cleanup urgency legislation that clarifies several issues of the new paid sick leave law. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, we're going to be talking about the new paid sick leave law. My guests are employment law attorneys Chaya Mandelbaum, a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, chair of the California Fair Employment and Housing Council, and a member of the San Francisco law firm of Rudy, Axelrod, Zief, and Lowe. And my other guest is Jonathan Judge, senior counsel of the Cerritos law firm of Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rude, and Romo. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar. Additional funding for the program is provided by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. I have with me in the studio Chaya Mandelbaum, and down in Southern California, I have Jonathan Judge. You are with us, I hope, Jonathan.
Yes, I am.
This is wonderful. Let's do this. Prior to this new law, which became apparently effective July 1st, 2015, did we have any paid sick leave law protection for employees?
Well, no, we didn't.
We did not.
Not in the state, on a statewide basis. There was some laws in San Francisco. It was one of the first cities to adopt a local ordinance on that, but there was no statewide law.
And Chaya, go ahead.
In fact, California was the second state in the nation to adopt such a law, and it filled a real gap in terms of the protection for employees in the state. Obviously, some employers already provide paid sick leave to their employees, but
through their own policy at the business.
Right, exactly. But this new law will provide paid sick leave to approximately 6.5 million California employees that weren't otherwise
really?
Afforded
no kidding.
Paid sick leave.
What's the difference between this law? I mean, I think we're somewhat familiar, some of us are familiar with the Federal Family Medical Leave Act, and there's a California version. What's the difference between the new law, new paid sick leave law, and the federal law as well as the California version?
So there are quite a few differences between the laws. The Family Medical Leave Act, like you talk about, and its California counterpart, those are unpaid leaves, and they apply to employers with 50 or more employees. So it's a lot different kind of benefit than what we're talking about here, where it's much more universal. Any employer is going to be covered by this sick leave law in California.
Even if you only have, let's say, 5 or 10 employees?
That's correct. There's no small employer exception. And it's also paid time off rather than unpaid time off. Under the FMLA, that's 12 weeks of unpaid leave. That's basically serves as job protection.
When you say paid time off with the new law, is that being paid your normal salary for so many hours, is that right?
Yes, generally that's the case. That was one of the areas where they issued some of the cleanup legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be at the employee's hourly rate, but then there's complications for employees that are paid commissions, for example. And how do you calculate that? So they issued some new rules to make it a little bit more clear based on existing rules of employment law to calculate that rate. But basically the intent is to make the employee whole for that day that they miss, whether it's 8 hours or 10 hours, whatever their regular schedule is, they're going to get, they should be getting what they were entitled to get paid for that day had they showed up for work.
Well, what if you have a situation where someone is not a new employee and has worked for this business, whatever it may be, large or small, and has been there for at least a minimum of months, maybe years, et cetera? Is this law retroactive so that the amount of time that this this person has, this employee has been at the business, is automatically covered by the new paid sick leave law? Chaya?
Well, it is and it isn't in certain respects. So there are a couple different hurdles that an employee has to clear before they can avail themselves of the new sick leave law. This is, of course, assuming there's not already sick leave provided by an employer, in which case they could utilize, you know, accrued sick leave that they had in the ordinary course. But if they're working somewhere where they weren't otherwise provided sick leave, they have to be employed by the employer for 90 days to start using the leave. So in your hypothetical, that can be retroactive in the sense that a longstanding employee has met that.
So that 90 days, it's retroactive for that 90 days. And that gives you how many days of potential sick leave coverage?
Well, so that clears hurdle number one. The second hurdle is that you have to accrue the sick leave. One July 1st, 2015 was when the law went into effect. So at that point, that longstanding employee would be accruing sick leave that they can then use.
So to give us an example, in other words, you're saying the retroactivity goes back to an employee who's been there at least 90 days, but when can that employee actually have accrued time so that he or she can take off and be covered by paid sick leave?
Sure. Well, so there's a couple different ways that you can accrue or be provided with sick leave, which we can get to in a moment. But let's take the example of a longstanding employee that's been there for 10 years and another employee that started working for the employer on July 2nd.
Okay.
The first employee can start using their leave as they accrue it start after July 1st. The second employee can't really start using that sick leave until 90 days after that because they haven't been working there.
So when you say for the employee who was there for 10 years, as they accrue it, what does that mean? Give us a simple example. Does that employee have to wait for another month or so before he or she has a day of paid sick leave?
Sure. Well, so this is actually one of the areas that's been tremendously complex and was one of the motivators for the cleanup legislation. As a general, the statutory accrual is basically for every 30 hours worked, the employee accrues 1 hour of sick leave.
I see. Okay.
So that's sort of the default and what's called the statutory accrual method. So for the employee that's been there a long time, as of July 1st, 2015, boom, for each 30 hours they're working, they're accruing sick leave that they can use. If, you know, after 60 hours, they'll have a couple hours and they can use them right away.
I see.
There are other ways in which the sick leave can be provided, and that's designed to sort of make the provision of sick leave as efficient and easy as possible. And some of that was addressed in the legislation. I'd be curious to hear what Jonathan thinks as someone who advises employers on kind of what method most of the employers that are his clients are electing to use. For me, I feel like smaller employers that maybe didn't already have sick leave policies or don't have sophisticated payroll operations in place would be opting for the lump sum method. Essentially, you can just provide each year 3 days right out of the gate. You don't have to worry about accrual, and you don't have to pay it out at the end. Unlike vacation pay, for example, in California, which needs to be paid out, sick leave doesn't have to be paid out to departing employees unless it's lumped in with other forms of leave. So you can provide a lump sum at the beginning of every year of 3 days and allow employees to use it throughout the year and not have to worry about some of these complexities related to accrual. But I'd be curious what sort of method of providing leave Jonathan's encountering.
Let me clarify something for all of you. Chaya Mandelbaum represents employees exclusively, do you not?
That's right.
Right. And Jonathan Judge represents employers. And you do that exclusively also, Jonathan?
That's correct, yes.
Could you then respond to Chaya's interest in how, let's say, for example, small employers are dealing with this?
Yeah, so like Chaya was saying, there's an alternative method of front-loading the 3 days of sick leave at the beginning of the year, and employees can use it right away. And then you don't have to track the number of hours that the employee is working, so the 1 hour for every 30 hours worked. That makes it a lot more simple. And, you know, from my experience talking with a lot of employers and advising them on these policies, it's maybe a little bit over 50% are going with the front-loading method. And then there's various other methods to calculate the sick leave other than the 1 hour 38 basis, you know, such as a half day per month or 1 day per month or a half day per pay period, which was more prevalent with employers that had policies prior to the law putting into place.
What are you finding with employers, small employers, who did not have any kind of policy at all? And let's say small employers who only have a few employees, maybe, if I may throw this out, if it's appropriate, with the clientele that your office may have, let's say a mom-and-pop business. A mom-and-pop own this business. They have a few people working for them. Is this creating this... what is now mandatory paid sick leave, is this creating a problem for them?
It is. I mean, we haven't seen the real-world effect of it so much. I am hearing that employees are certainly taking advantage of the leave. And
by using it.
They're
legitimately taking advantage of it, but... certainly not feigning being ill, but you're saying they are now taking advantage of it. What is this going to create a problem for small employers?
It does. The problems that they face are, you know, substituting in the employee where they have a small workforce. Does that mean they go without the employee, or do they have to hire a temporary employee to fill in for that day? Another issue is where you have an employee who's meeting with clientele, and they have a schedule and clientele to meet, and they cancel because they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do they cover that? If they have a small work staff, that becomes a problem for them.
Let me throw something out to you, Jonathan, on this. There is a distinction between someone who is an employee and someone who is an independent contractor. Now, I'm assuming from our pre-program discussion that this new paid sick leave law does not protect someone who is considered to be an independent contractor. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Could you define the difference between an employee and an independent contractor for us?
I mean, that could take a whole nother...
that's a whole show. Well, it's someone who is not getting immediate direction of what to do in each and every, essentially each and every duty at work. Is that correct? Or Chaya, do you have some response on that?
Well, I would agree this law certainly only applies to employees, but with one caveat, and that being, you said someone who's considered to be an independent contractor, and... that's not dispositive to the inquiry. Someone who's actually under the law, an independent contractor, doesn't get this. But as we've seen, there's a wave of litigation challenging whether certain people classified as independent contractors are in fact employees. But stepping back into the rights this law affords to employees through the lens of an employee, obviously you can use it to address your own health condition or that of a pretty wide group of family members, and also preventative care either for yourself or family members.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute or so. All right, everybody, bear with us for about a minute or so. As you know, this is the KLW fundraiser. If you are, by the way, not a member of KLW, I hope that you would seriously consider it. 72%, frankly, of KLW's budget comes from listeners who are members of KALW. This is very important. This is not a commercial public radio station. This is a listener-funded radio station. So I would hope that if you have not yet joined as a member of KALW, you will. It's 1-800-525-9917, the same number that we use for Call a Lawyer Night, which is going to be next week. Or you can go to the website, klw.org, and pledge. Whatever you can pledge will be a great help. Obviously, some people are able to pledge several hundred dollars. the station will appreciate what you can afford. There are no big underwriters, frankly, for this station. And if you're already a member and might want to consider becoming a sustaining member with a monthly donation, we request that certainly you seriously consider it. It'll be greatly helpful to this station. If you will do so, you can either call 1-800-525-9917 or go to the website kalw.org. Joanne?
Well, it's especially important that you call now because we're at the tail end of KALW's fall membership campaign, and this is your very last chance to show your support for your legal rights, which has been on KALW's airwaves for over 30 years. And for this hour of your legal rights, we have a goal of 12.
Ooh.
That's 12 of you calling 800-525-9917 or going online and making your contribution at kalw.org.
All right, let's get back to the program now. I want to... There's something under the law, this new law, that talks about exempt employees. Who is an exempt employee?
Well, so an exempt employee is typically how that term is used. It means employees that aren't eligible for overtime pay. So it means they're salaried employees that are exempt from the overtime requirements.
Hmm.
But for this,
how do you become exempt from an overtime requirement?
Well, there's various tests in place. Certain types of employees that manage other employees or have higher level management positions or are paid in certain fashions.
Gotcha.
So that's sort of a long-winded thing. But for purposes of our discussion today, this new paid sick law applies to both sets of employees. So whether you're paid on an hourly basis or by a salary, these paid sick leave days are available to you as a California employee.
How does that fall within the clientele that you have, Jonathan?
We've got clientele with, almost every employer is going to have both sets concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be affected by that. Usually they'll just have one policy for all the employees, but sometimes they'll have different policies for the exempt employees and the non-exempt employees just because they're compensated differently.
How are employers under the new law, how are employers to go about educating or putting out to their employees, you now under this new law, effective July 1st, 2015, will be entitled to paid sick leave? How are employers required under the law to communicate this to their employees, or are they?
Yeah, there's a few requirements. One of which is to put up a poster in the workplace that talks about the basic rights of the law.
That is a mandatory requirement?
That is mandatory.
Ah, okay.
So it's part of the 16 or so posters that must be put up in the workplace.
Did you say 16? 1-6?
Yes, yeah.
But all the posters can be the same, can they not? Or do they have to be different posters?
Well, there's companies that will that issue these, and it's the size of a big wall, but they put 16 posters onto the one, so you just have to slap one up on the wall.
But the language or the information on the poster, even though there may be a requirement of 16, the information essentially is the same on all 16. Is that right?
Well, it's 16 different laws on the posters, but the language on the sick leave law will be fairly generic, and it's just going to be the basic rights of the law. And many employers will have different policies than that.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So you don't have, under the new law, an employer is not supposed to put up 16 different posters that relate to the new sick leave law. Is that correct?
No. There's just one sick leave law
okay.
poster.
I was a little confused there. I thought, wow, you can turn the hall. Ooh, there's another poster.
It just adds to the collection of posters.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Hey, we got this, a poster society. So what if, for example, an employee believed that he or she has accrued sick leave paid time, but the employer is kind of hiding behind the palm tree. What is that employee supposed to do? How are you supposed to get? And this I can see may happen. I don't think it's that out of the question. Chaya, what is an employee supposed to do? Where does he or she go?
So the law includes several remedies, one of which is for employees whose employers won't allow them to utilize the sick leave they've accrued. And there's also provisions that protect them if they're retaliated against for using or trying to use the sick leave.
By retaliated, either demoted or fired.
Exactly. So essentially, the recourse is to file charges with the labor commissioner. The labor commissioner or the attorney general have the enforcement powers for this particular law, and then mm-hmm. private attorneys general, which are plaintiff's firms, can bring PAGA actions.
I'm sorry, say that again? What kind of action?
So California has a law called the Private Attorney General Act, which is effectively deputizes private...
Oh, so PAGA, P-A-G-A, Private Attorney General Act. Okay.
Exactly. Right. So the labor commissioner is the government agency responsible for enforcing the new sick leave provision, and that's the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement.
How does someone get in touch with them?
They have a website, phone mm-hmm. numbers, a lot of different offices.
So just Google California Labor Commissioner.
Yeah, or DLSE, Division of Labor Standards Enforcement.
Okay. All right. All right. Any thoughts that you have on this from the standpoint of your clientele being employers, Jonathan?
Well, the interesting thing there, this is a position that the Labor Commissioner has taken and has been a problem for my clients and for employers generally, is they're taking the position that it would be considered interference with an employee's right to take sick leave if the employer asks for a doctor's note to substantiate that leave.
Really?
So that is a unique aspect under the California law right now. I know in San Francisco they have regulations that set forth what can be considered abuse. So if an employee shows a pattern of requesting sick leave on Mondays and Fridays, that's one of the examples that they list in their regulations, saying then the employer has a right to ask for a doctor's note to prove up that the employee's taking the sick leave.
So under the new law, sick leave law, sick paid leave law, or paid sick leave law, is there a provision in there that says that an employer does not have the right to ask an employee to provide a doctor's note? Is there a provision like that in the new law?
It doesn't say that explicitly. Mm-hmm. It's silent on it. But the labor commissioner in a webinar that they put up on their website that we were just talking about said that they're going to take the position that requesting a doctor's note would interfere with the employee's right to take.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Any comments on that, Chaya?
Well, certainly the labor commissioner's office is the body that interprets the law and has the capacity to make regulations to the law. So I think Jonathan's absolutely correct. The law itself is silent on that issue, but the agency delegated by the legislature to interpret the law and provide guidance to it is taking that position. So I think certainly employers and employees should be mindful of that.
If an employee is having a problem with this, and I'm not looking to try to create problems here, but frankly, that's why we have attorneys who represent employees and attorneys who represent employers, because there are problems. Isn't that true? Yeah, there must be. There's silence on both sides. What I'm wondering here is if someone, an employee, finds a problem that an employer is not being fair and not following the law, and the employee wants to contact or Googles the labor commissioner's office, finds out what to do. What kind of a response, generally speaking, can the employee expect from the labor commissioner's office in terms of, I mean, there's a complaint form that one can fill out and submit to the labor commissioner's office. What kind of a response can someone expect from the labor commissioner's office in terms of response time from the Labor Commissioner's office. We'll help you within such and such a period of time, or how long does it take generally? Do you have any thoughts on that, Chaya?
You know, I don't know the current sort mm-hmm. of expected wait times for a hearing. They have internal and administrative hearings, and they have also investigative and litigative power. So I really don't know kind of how long that process takes.
Do you have you had any experience with that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be a month before a hearing is set. There would be at first an informal meeting between the parties that the employer has the option of attending, and that's usually at least a month out. And
I see.
A hearing would be set months after that. So it would be a slow process to go through the Labor Commissioner.
A couple other points I want to just make. I know we're running out of time here. The sick days can also be used by victims of domestic violence, sexual mm-hmm. assault, or stalking.
Mm-hmm.
So while sick leave is certainly the, you know, will meet the vast majority of instances, the use of the leave is slightly broader than sick leave.
This is very interesting. I do want you to talk a little bit more about this. Why, briefly, if you would, Chaya, stalking. Why would the new sick leave paid law cover stalking?
So from what I understand, the concept behind that is that someone's workplace is one of the places that a stalker would know the person will be. So,
yes.
So by having the flexibility to avoid this sort of expected shift that a stalker would know the location of the person. I think that's the concept behind allowing employees to use it in that fashion.
Really? Do you have any thoughts on that one, Jonathan?
Nothing. I mean, we haven't run into any questions about that from our clients.
I see. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
The other thing that's important to clarify, and Jonathan brought it up, in terms of some of the administrative burdens for employers. But from the perspective of an employee, it's important to know that you can't be tasked with the responsibility of finding your replacement employee. So if you're sick and you need to use the leave and you have it accrued, you get to use the leave. The employer can't shift to you the responsibility of, rounding up a coworker to take your shift.
All right, let's take a brief break here. This is Your Legal Rights. I want to give you our toll-free number in case you have some questions, whether it's about the new paid sick leave law or if you have other questions about employment law. Both of my guests are very experienced in employment law. It's 1-866-798-8255, 1-866-798-8255. And also, I want to continue to encourage you to become, if you're not yet a member of KLW, which I happen to have a great affection for because it is true public radio, because of the fact that 72% of the budget of KLW is provided by listeners who are members of KLW. If you would like to get, and I'm very pleased to say that NOLO, which has been producing legal books, basically focused for laypersons for many, many years, actually decades. Through its generosity, I have a number of books here entitled Your Rights in the Workplace. It's a little over 400 pages, written by Barbara Kate Reppa, who's an attorney. And it's an excellent piece of work. If you're interested, both from the first day on the job to the last, and offers common sense advice and strategies to help you enforce your rights. If you would like a copy of this book, which the station will send to you, we ask that you make a pledge to the station of $120. And we are hopefully trying to have as many new members to KLW as possible. This is the programming of this station, and the whole purpose and philosophy of this station is incredibly valuable. This is a non-commercial public radio station, which I am very happy to be involved with and have been for many, many years. So if you're not yet a member, or even if you are a member and you might be considering becoming a sustaining member with a monthly donation, Please call 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website, kalw.org, and make your pledge, whatever amount it might be. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of Your Rights in the Workplace, it's a pledge of $120. Joanne, please.
I have an idea. Become a sustaining member at $10 a month, and we'll send you Your Rights in the Workplace. It's an invaluable reference for every worker, covers all your legal rights. Maybe you have questions about bullying. Maybe you're wondering if your boss can unilaterally withhold your paycheck. Maybe you're not getting any rest breaks or lunch breaks. Get this book and find out what your rights are. 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
All right, let's go. Let's go back. What I want to do is let you know who my guests are. And this is Your Legal Rights, by the way. I'm Chuck Finney. For those of you, by the way, who are listening to us live, we're doing this program on September 16th. I welcome you to call us with your question, comment, whatever it may be in the area of employment law. The toll-free number is 1-866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. My guests are Jonathan Judge, who's senior counsel of the Cerritos, California law firm of Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rude, and Romo. Did I get Rude pronounced correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good. Perfect. All right. My other guest who's with me in the studio is Chaya Mandelbaum, a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar. He's chair of the California Fair Employment and Housing Council, is a member of the San Francisco law firm of Rudy, Axelrod, Zeef, and Lowe. And so we'd like to have you join us with your questions, your comments, your concerns in the employment law area. And don't be bashful. And we've got Tom. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
You're on the air, Tom.
Awesome. So my question is about a job I had right after college, which was around 2011. And I took a job with Mass Mutual, the insurance company, selling insurance. And I'd asked them in the interviews, you know, am I accruing any kind of debt? Because I'd heard they did stuff on a draw, but the job was 100% commission. And I left after about 6 months because I didn't like it. And about 3 months ago, I got a bill from them for $450. And they said it was because they had fronted my errors and omissions insurance premiums during that period of time. So 4 years later, kind of out of the blue, I got this bill. And I asked them, you know, where it had been. They said they hadn't been able to find me until now. And they finally, I guess, found my office and sent it to it. And I've been pretty clear up front that, and asked the questions around, would I be incurring any costs? Am I accruing any kind of debt? Will I owe you anything if I leave after, you know, any period of time? And they told me kind of point blank, no.
Tom, let me ask you a question. When you became a salesperson for Mass Mutual, did you have a written agreement with them?
I think so, but I didn't look through it.
Do you have it? Do you still have it?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I
too bad.
I'm trying to dig it up, but it's been a while.
Too bad. You know, I have a suggestion for you, and maybe Chaya and or Jonathan do also, but my suggestion is, in that they've sent you this bill for $450, and you're down in Santa Cruz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was in Michigan.
Oh, you were in Michigan. Okay. All right. Doesn't matter. You're in Santa Cruz right now. I suggest that what you might want to do is, in that you've gotten this bill for $450, I presume there's some contact phone number or something like that, ask them to provide to you, before you agree to pay $450, ask them to provide to you a copy of whatever agreement you had with this employer so that you can review it. And my suggestion, once they do that, and I'm sure they'll do it, Mass Mutual is a very significant employer, you know, throughout the United States. They're not going to cheat you, as far as I can tell, and I'm sure they won't. I think then when you get that copy of the agreement between you and Mass Mutual, they'll have a copy of it, look at it carefully, see if there's anything about that. It's very important for all of us when we have a contract with somebody, whatever it may be, whether it's employment or whatever the situation may be, even buying a car, for example, especially a car, and especially if it's a used one, you want to read it very carefully. You want to read your credit card agreement also very carefully. If you find there's no provision in that contract that you have to refund something to them if you're not there for a year or whatever, mm-hmm. I would suggest you contact in Santa Cruz County the Bar Association and Lawyer Referral Service and see if you can set up an appointment with an attorney who represents employees for half an hour, and you'll pay probably no more than $35. It's a great way to find out what your legal rights may be. Chaya, do you have any comments for Tom?
I think that sounds like a good idea. The Legal Aid Society Employment Law Center also has worker rights clinics, because this is a little bit more detailed than mm-hmm. than our purposes in terms of looking into Michigan law and state
yeah.
law here. It's
yeah.
certainly unique, I'll tell you that. I haven't encountered that very often. It's also, it sounds like, if I understood the facts right, that you left employment there in 2011. So the first question that comes to mind to me is whether if they even have a legal right to,
yeah,
to recoup good, this,
very
if they do,
point.
Whether that the statute of limitation has expired.
Very good point. Very good point. No question about it. Because there is a statute of limitations, frankly, if you had some kind of contractual liability, Tom. But I would suggest that. Jonathan, do you have any thoughts for Tom?
Yeah, no, that would have been my thoughts, too, but I don't know what the yeah. statute of limitation is in Michigan.
You know, you can, I'm sure, also, Tom, in doing some work on your own, you could Google on your computer, you could Google, you're working where, what state?
California now.
No, I know, but where, for MassMutual, where were you?
Michigan.
Yeah. You can Google Michigan law contract statute of limitations, and you'll find out through Googling it, what the statute of limitations may be. So you've got a little work to do, and maybe there's an opportunity for you to avoid this.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the help.
Okay. All right. Take care. Very glad you called. By the way, before we take our next call, let me just mention something. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County, and for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar. Call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association has a lawyer referral service. That's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Anywhere, every county in California has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own and tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for a half an hour consultation. We're a rare exception. You'll pay somewhere for that half hour, $25 to $35, and that doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that service going. So I highly recommend it to you. One other thing that I'd like to do, and let me give you again the toll-free number here, 1-866-798-8255, if you'd like to call in and speak to my guests, Chaya Mandelbaum and Jonathan Judge. The San Mateo County Bar Association on October 15th is having a presentation for the public on police misconduct and civil rights violations with nationally respected civil rights attorney John Burris and Carlos Bolanos, undersheriff of San Mateo County. And for attorneys who attend this, this is approved for 1.5 hours of Elimination of Bias MCLE credit. And if you'd like more information, you can go to the San Mateo County Bar's website, smcba.org, or call 650-298-4030, 298-4030, area code 650. All right, and for those of you who are still there who want to support KLW, that magic number, for your pledge is 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website klw.org. And we have, let's see, we've got Matt. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So my question is there any idea of expanding this at all, or any possibility of this going moving beyond just sick time, but the ability to accrue general PTO or even federal holiday time off? Because as contractors often face income reduction while many other people enjoy the day off and do not. And there's many cases where someone perhaps needs to go to the DMV or for some other purpose, and that's not exactly sick. Is that something that we see possible? Is that
Matt, when you said contractors, who are you referring to by using the word contractors?
I'm referring to, generally speaking, the tech industry in Silicon Valley that employs.
I see. Okay. But you are saying that you are an employee, are you not? As opposed to being an independent contractor.
Yes, in that sense, yes.
Okay, you're an employee, not an independent contractor. So someone has to go to the DMV. Let's say you've got to take a driver's test. Chaya, under this new law, let's say you've accrued sick leave time. Can you use it for that purpose, assuming you're not sick, but you've got to go to the DMV, and you're going to have to take off, probably, to go to the DMV, 2 or 3 hours at least, in terms of travel time, in terms of being there. If you've got to take the driver's test or you've got to take the exam, it's going to take a minimum of 2 or 3 hours. What comments do you have about that?
So I don't know of any law imminently in the works that would expand to that. It is worth noting, though, that there are other leave laws that cover designated areas. So, for instance, there are California state laws that protect an employee's right to go to respond to a jury duty summons without, fear of reprisal.
That's required by the county in which you live.
Well, so they would send you the summons to jury duty, but there's a California state law that ensures that you can respond to that summons without reprisal from your employer.
Good, good. And by not reprisal from your employer, by also getting your normal pay, is that correct?
I don't believe. No, it doesn't have to be paid leave. It's just protective.
I see.
Although
okay.
there are remedies
protecting
if you're not
your
getting
job.
Paid
okay.
in
right.
terms of subsidies from the
state. Any comments, Jonathan, that you have on this?
Yeah, on the paid time off, it's an interesting concept. I don't see it expanding into that area to provide leave for reasons other than sick and the court leave that we were talking about for domestic violence. But one of the aspects of the law is that if an employer has a paid time off policy, and that's a combination of vacation and sick leave, the employer can use that to satisfy the requirement to provide sick leave to employees. So the employees may not have sick leave per se, but a paid time off benefit rather, and that would satisfy the law if it meets the certain requirements in the law.
So that creates some administrative ease for employers, and employees should be mindful if that's how your employer is utilizing it, if they're lumping it in with paid time, other forms of paid time off, then any amount that you accrue when you leave employment needs to be paid out to you, unlike a separately designated sick leave.
That's a good point.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to encourage you out there, everyone. I have just gotten a note from my assistant here, the associate producer, Martin, that we've only gotten 2 pledges so far, and our goal is 12. So I would hope that if you've, let's say, gotten something out of the program that I've done, if you are, over the years that I've been here, if I have in any way, with my guests and myself, helped you with any legal matter, or you feel that this is something that is worthwhile for you to listen to, and you are not a member, I urge you, please, to become a member of KALW and make a pledge. The number is 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website, klw.org. This, as I said earlier, 72% of the budget, KLW's budget, is based on listeners who are members who have pledged to the station. And so what you can afford, we would appreciate. If some people can afford to pledge several hundred dollars on various times, others can only afford to pledge a much, much smaller amount. If you feel that if you're an employee or even an employer, and you feel that you would like to get the benefit of a very good book on employment law, which is Your Rights in the Workplace, published by NOLO, which, by the way, NOLO is not a sponsor of Your Legal Rights. It does not sponsor anything here at the station. I've just happened to be a big believer in the value of the works and the books that NOLO puts together. And Your Rights in the Workplace, which is over 400 pages, it's extensive in terms of from the beginning of your work to the last day on the job. And if you'd like to get a copy of this and make a pledge of $120 to KLW, the station will send you one of the books. So it's 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website and make a pledge to KLW.org. Take about 20 seconds. Would you, Joanne, there?
We need 10 more of you to reach our goal for this hour of Your Legal Rights. 10 more of you calling at 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org. Remember that KALW is the only station in the Bay Area that has a program like Your Legal Rights. This is a unique service. It's a valuable community service that's probably helped hundreds of listeners during the last 30-plus years. And this program has been made possible all these years by your support, and we want to continue that support at 800-525-9917 and online KALW.org.
All right. I want to encourage you, those of you who would have some questions or do have some questions on the law, whatever it may be, not just paid sick leave law, but other areas of the law, join us. It's always helpful to have your questions because it not only may my guests be able to give you some direction, but what your problem may be may also be the problem of other persons. The toll-free number, 1-866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Don't be bashful. Don't wait for another few minutes because, unfortunately, we'll be off the air by that time. For those of you who may have tuned in a little bit late, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're focusing on the new paid sick leave law, which is, of course, part of employment law. And my guests are two very experienced employment law attorneys, Chaya Mandelbaum and Jonathan Judge. And so take advantage of the fact that they are here. And for those of you who are interested, by the way, we will do our Call a Lawyer night next week. That's September 23rd. So whether you can listen to the program live or not, you'll be able to talk with attorneys off the air. No obligation on your part whatsoever while I'm doing a live program. And by the way, it'll be on drones, those little flying objects out there. So look out, everybody. Look out for those drones because there's a big push for commercial use of drones. So we'll be doing a program on the air on drones, but at the same time, we'll do Call a Lawyer, and I'll have a number of attorneys here at the conference room at KLW. So that number you want to jot down again. It's the magic number, by the way, 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer next week from 7 to 8 p.m. You know, both of you talked briefly about how this new paid sick leave law covers domestic violence, sexual assault, etc. What's going on there, Chaya, with domestic violence? I mean, everyone understands what domestic violence is. Someone, whether you're married to someone and you've been violent with that person, hurt that person, the other person would be a victim of domestic violence. Why is it that this new paid sick leave law included that?
Well, I think it gets back to that concept that the workplace is somewhere that another person knows you'll be. So if you're a victim of sexual violence or domestic violence or stalking, if you have to show up for work that day at 8 a.m., they know exactly where you're going to be. So that portion of the law is aimed at providing a measure of protection to victims of those things. such that they don't have to be at this workplace where an aggressor would know that they'd be.
Now, does in this situation with domestic violence or sexual assault or stalking, does the employer have any right to ask this person for some kind of written verification of this? In other words, that he or she has called the police on this person or has a no-contact order already issued by the court? Is there any requirement that the employer can make of that nature?
No, I think the labor commissioner's interpretation with respect to sick leave would apply. In other words, employees don't have an affirmative obligation to demonstrate that. I don't think there's going to be, and I certainly haven't heard of any rampant fraud where people are claiming to be victims of these horrendous things.
Right. Any thoughts on that, Jonathan, from you?
Yeah, actually, I think there is. This is where it is addressed in the actual statute. It talks about that the employer can request court documentation proving that part of the need for the leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually different from the
I see. Leave. I see. Okay. All right. All right. We have Abby. Abby, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Hi. Thanks. I've got a couple of questions, but they're very quick. The paid sick leave law, and is that for all California or just San Francisco?
Oh, no. For all of California. Okay. That's state law.
Okay. All right. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Something related but not quite sick leave. Recently, my company has, of course, come into the we've got to provide employee schedules at least 2 weeks in advance. I was wondering, since I am salaried, does my schedule also have to be provided to me 2 weeks in advance?
Well, wait a minute. I want you to clarify this for you. For us, you are saying that your employer requires certain of its employees to provide to the employer what the employee's schedule is going to be over the next 2 weeks?
No. We as the employer have got to provide the employees with their schedule at least 2 weeks in advance.
Are you in San Francisco? I think you're referring to the new San Francisco ordinance on that. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So I don't know off the top of my head whether exempt employees meet that definition. I don't believe they do. The Office of Labor Standards Enforcement for the city, OLSE, handles the enforcement of that San Francisco ordinance. So that applies in San Francisco only, but that would be a good resource to look up what, if under any circumstances, exempt employees' schedules.
Have you tried calling them, Abby?
I have not.
Okay. Again, the name of the office is what?
It's the Office of Labor Standards Enforcement, or OLSE, in San Francisco.
Okay. So
I don't believe that that the law protects exempt employees who don't, by nature, don't have set schedules in the same way that certain hourly employees do, but it'd be worth double checking because I don't know that off the top of my head. And the OLSE in San Francisco is the organization.
Does that help you, Abby?
It does. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so very much for calling. We have, by the way, a couple of minutes left. If you'd like to join us with your question or comment, I think we have time for another. Another call or so. Again, it's the toll-free number 1-866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And as we're doing this, if you are so motivated, please make a pledge to KLW at the magic number 1-800-525-9917. Jonathan, We are getting close to the end of both the half-hour version, which we send to 15 other stations that air that half-hour next week, and we're getting close, of course, to the end of the hour program. Do you have any thought or two that you'd like to air before I say goodnight to you?
I guess one thing that we didn't cover was what's going on with some of the other cities. We mentioned San Francisco has its sick leave law, and then Oakland also recently passed a sick leave law. Emeryville also has a law, and so you're noticing a pattern there. It's mostly Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
But down here in San Diego, they passed a law a couple years ago, but they passed a voter referendum to get it put back on the ballot in June of 2016.
So there is no sick leave law in San Diego County?
Well, there's no, the state law is still going to apply statewide, but there's no conflict with any local law.
I see.
Down there at this point.
Are there any other major cities in California that you know of that have their own ordinance on paid sick leave? Or is this something that's relatively new that various cities, especially up in Northern California, are beginning to get involved with? Or at this point, now that we have the California state law, do you see that this is going to really not motivate cities to have their own ordinances?
Well, there is a groundswell of sort of support behind the notion that some amount of paid sick leave should be provided. And I think we hit the cities in California that have it. But hot off the presses, there's a new executive order federally signed by President Obama on September 7th, 2015, that applies to employees of federal contractors and subcontractors and will allow up to 7 days of accrued paid sick leave per year.
Per year.
So if you work for a federal contractor, you may have a more generous paid sick leave law applying to you.
Well, I tell you, I think we've about come to the end of the half hour of the program. I want to thank you both very much for joining me and all of us on this program. My guests have been employment law attorneys Jonathan Judge, senior counsel of the Cerritos Law Firm of Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rood, and Romo, and Chaya Mandelbaum, who is a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, chair of the California Fair Employment and Housing Council, and member of the San Francisco law firm of Rudy Axelrod, Zeef, and Lowe. I thank you both very much for joining us on the program. Great
Thanks.
To have you here.
Thanks a lot, Chuck.
By the way, the next topic next week on this program will be drones. We're going to have a discussion of those little flying things with propellers, etc. We're going to be talking about issues of safety, public safety, commercial use, which is now really becoming a big thing, privacy, and public trust. My guest will be Edward Page, a criminal trial advocate certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. He's a commercial pilot and also flight instructor. It'll also be our Call a Lawyer night, where you can call and speak to an attorney off the air while I'm doing the live program at 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, on a number of different topics. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this program has been made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, the San Mateo County Bar Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks for joining us on Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next week. I'm Chuck Finney.